It's time to talk about food and drink and restaurants and cooking and kitchens and food shows on TV and lots more. It's Food Talk STL with David Craig on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Hey, good morning. We're back. This is Food Talk STL. I'm Dave. And on the show today, we're going to talk to Andy Ayers here in just a few minutes, former restaurant owner, now a food broker. Also, Ginger from the Dierberg School of Cooking. Also this morning, we have a $25 G&W Bavarian sausage gift certificate to give away. Oh, boy. We are on the Internet. We have a website, foodtalkstl.com. And on there, we have archives of our past shows. There's a little tab up top. Click on past shows, and you can listen to our interviews with all kinds of folks that we've had on so far. You can also click there on the recipes tab, and we'll tell you about some recipes recently posted on there a little later. We're also on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at FoodTalkSTL. And we're also on Facebook, so look for us there, Food Talk STL. Matt Grover running things in the control room. Thank you, Matt. It was, for me and my wife, a big food week. I mean, we did a lot of eating. Last Sunday, had brunch at Rue Lafayette Cafe, which is on the south side of Lafayette Square. Great coffee and great crepes and frittatas, and enjoyed visiting with Araceli there. And then Monday we went to Mama Gusto's Pizza down in South St. Louis. Thank you, Al, for hosting us there. Delicious pizza. Thursday night went to the Iron Fork event over at the Marriott at Union Station. And, of course, sampled a lot of things there. We ate quite a lot. I'm thinking there used to be a radio personality in Hartford, Connecticut many years ago who did a thing every week where every Friday morning at 8:15 he would weigh himself. And people would tune in every week to find out how much the guy weighed. And if it's 1 week, it'd be 178, next week 180, whatever. But it kind of got to be where, and I'm thinking, you know, should I do that? Because Gail Pennington, when I told her I was going to do this show, she said, David, you're going to gain 50 pounds in the first 6 months. I'm not on my way. just under 230 this morning, but I'm not going to do it every week. I could do my height. My height this morning is 6 feet, 1 inch, which is what it's been now for several decades. Okay, on to food, on to the show, and our first guest. When I first started doing the show, several people said, you got to talk to Andy Ayers. And I finally got in contact with him this week, visited with him a couple of days ago, and I started by asking him how long he had been in the restaurant biz. And why did he get out of the restaurant biz into what he's doing now?
I think 27 years, maybe, altogether. I had a little place up on Natural Bridge and Hanley Road for the first five years of that career. And then we relocated to the University City Loop, right across the street from the Tivoli Theater, Riddle's penultimate cafe and wine bar, for 22 years. So that was quite a career. And why did I get out? It's because the restaurant business is for young folks. I had a great time growing up in the business, but you know, it wears you down. It's really a commitment to run an independent restaurant that tries to reinvent itself every day. I went to work in a restaurant when I was 16 years old as a busboy, and after about 6 weeks, I was telling myself, man, I could run one of these places better than he does. So it took me some years to put that theory to the test, but I really enjoyed doing it. That, like I say, a childhood ambition. I wanted to do it. I told myself I could.
Okay, now, Andy Ayers, you've moved on to the next chapter in your career. And can you explain to our Food Talk STL listeners exactly what you're doing now?
Sure. When I decided to leave the restaurant business, I had always part of the program that we did at Riddle's was to bring a lot of locally grown food to our menu and to change the menu with a great deal of regularity. I was doing local foods and giving credit to a farmer by name on the menu many years before it was cool. And in fact, people used to make fun of me for the detail that I had about the ingredients on the menu. We don't care where the tomatoes were grown. Come on. And I guess you'd have to say it kind of caught on, because local foods now are a real focus of the restaurant industry. A lot of restaurateurs and chefs all over town are interested in featuring local stuff on their menu. So when I left the restaurant business, I knew quite a few growers because I had been using them for my own kitchen. And, of course, that period of time in the business, I knew quite a few chefs and restaurateurs. So I thought I would try a new business idea to put those two really divergent groups of people together to middleman between them and moderate between them. There's really a big cultural gap between chefs and farmers. They have different schedules. They have different lifestyles. They have different vocabularies. They have different outlooks. And I get along with both groups, but I understand where frequently you need a moderator between those factions.
Well, there's a lot of chefs who do their own sourcing, but most of them don't have the time because there's just so much stuff to do in a restaurant.
Exactly. I had the good fortune of my daughter, who grew up in the restaurant business and eventually became the sous chef and took over a lot of the day-to-day operations of the kitchen, that allowed me the time to source stuff, which I found to be the most satisfying part of the job. So what I did, in fact, was make that the entire focus of my new career. And I'm having a ball now for that reason. I get up in the morning, I have voicemails and emails, and this is what we want delivered. And I'll put together product from, you know, a dozen different growers and bring it on one truck and drop it off at a restaurant for service the next day. That works out well.
Okay, we're visiting with Andy Ayers. The company is called Eat Here St. Louis. Is that right?
That's it.
He's a food broker, former restaurateur. Now, so let's say you come in this morning, you got your emails, you got your voicemails, and this guy wants this, and this lady wants this, and all of that. Are you able to always deliver exactly what they want?
Oh, no. That would be too easy. You know, at the same time as I had all those orders this morning, I also had sourcing. The other half of the coin is the sourcing issue. So I had, I think, five different local sources that delivered to my warehouse today. Sometimes I go to the farm. Sometimes I meet people halfway at a truck stop. That's an interesting thing to do an asparagus deal at a truck stop somewhere. Sometimes I think the local cops might be looking over their shoulder, but whatever it takes to get the product into town.
I'm going to ask you if you would name some of the folks, some of the restaurants in town that people would know that you deliver. And it's mostly produce. Is it produce, eggs, meat? What all do you do?
All right, I don't do much meat. I do eggs, chicken, goose, duck, quail, but it's mostly produce. Now, I put together a list of an inventory of non-fresh items to keep myself from getting into trouble all winter long. So in addition to produce, I sell rice from the Boot Heel. I have black walnuts from Cape Girardeau. I have Missouri pecans from Nevada, Missouri. Monday, I'm going to Funk's Grove, Illinois to pick up maple syrup right from the cook shack in the woods where they tap the trees and cook it down.
And what are some of the restaurants in town that you deliver things to?
Yeah, well, you know, I always hesitate to give a list of my best clients because I know I'm going to leave somebody out. But I go east from my warehouse to Benton Park and do City Street and Niche with a great deal of regularity. I go downtown to the new place called Blood and Sand. It's got a wonderful young chef who does remarkable stuff with local foods. I go to Squire's in Lafayette Square. I go to a little place called the Mud House down on Cherokee that is, once again, it's an example of a small neighborhood place. It's got to focus on local stuff the same way I did when I had a neighborhood restaurant, and the food is outstanding for that reason. Right here in the center of St. Louis, I go to Five Restaurant on the Hill all the time. We do Cardwell's. We go out west to Cardwell's. We go to Annie Gunn's. I've got a couple of country club accounts. I actually do a couple of schools and daycare centers. So it's not exclusively restaurants, but mostly so.
Okay, we're visiting with Andy Ayers, former owner of Riddle's
Penultimate Cafe and Wine Bar.
Thank you. In the U-City Loop, and now a food broker. The middleman, Tom Shane, is out to get you, you know.
You know, I feel like my mission statement is twofold. One is to help the chefs source local stuff, which they want to do and frequently don't have the option of doing on their own. But the other half of my mission is to help local growers market their stuff. You know, it doesn't do if a grower is already selling everything they grow, well, they don't need me. We don't need to talk. That's great. But what I look for is growers who have either excess production or excess production capacity that they're not using because they don't know who they would sell that product to. Then I show up and say, sell it to me, and I will help you market your product. So this is the way that we will eventually resuscitate the local agricultural economy. You know, we used to feed ourselves here in the St. Louis area. 100 years ago, we didn't get trucks in from Salinas Valley, California. We didn't get plane loads of grapes from Chile. We grew everything we needed here, and this we can do that again, but we have to, everybody's got to be able to, when you talk about sustainable agriculture, a big part of that is financially sustainable. So these guys have got to understand that they have a market before they plant in the spring. And a big part of what I do is to reassure them that I will move their product for them. So it works both ways for me.
We're visiting with Andy Ayers on Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS. For St. Louis restaurant patrons, what do they have to look forward to in the next few weeks here? What would you say are the things to look for on menus that you personally say, this is the good stuff, guys?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, this is an unusual spring. It started really early. A lot of crops that
January, I think.
Well, I mean, I had people cutting spinach for me in January, which is really unusual. But now spinach, for instance, is coming in very, very strong. By the end of this month, there'll be asparagus, and watch out for that, because it's just, you know, the difference in the quality. That's part of the thing that we're doing here. There's a political aspect to this, I guess, where you want to encourage the local economy and especially local farmers. But the other aspect of it is, and what got me started as a chef, was the quality of the food. First of all, there's the freshness issue. If you go to the farm and buy something as opposed to something that was shipped in from, you know, it's been 6 or 7 or 8 days on the road, there's an enormous value in that alone. But the other thing that people don't always recognize is that huge industrial growers of fruits and vegetables specialize in just a little handful of varieties that have been most of the time hybridized not for flavor, but for its ability to put up with mechanical harvesting, with transportation across the country. And what you, when you hybridize for those characteristics, what you hybridize out is delicacy and flavor. You don't want them delicate because they'll get bruised too bad. A lot of the varieties that local growers use are ones that would never ship from here to California, for instance, because they're way too delicate. We don't pick tomatoes green and gas them red for sale to our friends and neighbors. They only do that when there's transcontinental economy involved. So there's all kinds of reasons why the stuff you buy locally is just so much better and more nutritious than it is the commodity stuff that comes in from out of town.
And what else are we looking for coming up here in the next few weeks?
Well, you know, the strawberries are the big part of my life. They'll be along in April, by the end of April. There's a wonderful fruit from around here, so watch for strawberries. And then, you know, in terms of produce, we're going to have, as I say, asparagus, but we're going to have all kinds of great salad greens. Radishes are like a 30-day crop, so we're going to have radishes very shortly. Cucumbers will be along. Of course, everybody loves those zucchinis and yellow squash.
We're visiting with Andy Ayers here on Food Talk STL, former restaurateur and now a food broker. Do you ever go into restaurants and have the owner pull you aside and say, hey, listen, I've got some problems. Do you ever do any restaurant consulting?
I actually did more of that when I was in the restaurant business. What I try and do now, you know, I tell these guys, I'll help you run your restaurant as long as I don't have to be here. You know, I work days now. I enjoy dinner at home with my wife. And that's one of the big advantages of changing careers, because the restaurant business is one that requires almost complete devotion if you're actually going to make it. And that's one of the reasons why so many people flunk out of the restaurant business, because they don't understand that unless it's a family business, you're never going to see your family. No, unless you do it at work. I help people to source their products. I help people to think about different ways to use the seasonal availability of ingredients. But I leave it at that. Let them run their own restaurants.
So what's next with Eat Here St. Louis? Is it going to grow, or are you going to go retail? What's on the agenda?
Well, there's all kinds of possibilities, and I don't know exactly where it's going to go. Now I'm concentrating on this wholesale delivery. It gets bigger and bigger every year. And again, the same approach I took to the restaurant business, I'm trying to figure out how to run this business as well as I can. I thought after 25 or so years in the restaurant business that running a little distribution business would be easy, but no, you know, there's all kinds of industry-specific stuff that I'm learning as I go along. Another huge gap in the market that somebody needs to fill, and it might be me, is processing. You know, people ask, well, how can I eat local in the wintertime here? And, you know, if you think about it, what do you eat in the wintertime? Well, you know, you eat frozen corn, you eat canned tomatoes. The way to eat local all winter is to freeze our own corn and can our own tomatoes, and that's not being done around here. So,
well, it used to be grandma 50 and 60 years ago, not so much anymore.
Well, no, not too much anymore. The culture has changed. The economy has changed. People want to be able to buy food that is relatively quick and easy to prepare. The other part of that is not just ease of preparation, but to make the season, to eat locally through the whole season. Now, something that's happened relatively recently that's really helping in that regard is more and more growers are growing inside relatively inexpensive technology called hoop houses that are multiplying all over the area. You know, the traditional homegrown tomato season, for instance, we always said we'd love to have them by the 4th of July, but we're going to have delicious homegrown tomatoes in April this year that are already doing very well in plastic-covered, really low-energy-intensive hoop houses all over this area. Watch and see. Tomatoes are going to be good. It's going to be a good year for tomatoes. So we're going to shake up everybody's ideas about what's the seasonality of locally grown vegetables in the years to come.
That's Andy Ayers. I certainly enjoyed visiting with him, and I hope you enjoyed our visit with him. Andy Ayers, his company is called Eat Here St. Louis. You can find them on the web. The website, or the URL is eatherestl.com. And on his website, he has a blog post about grits. And as a native Southerner, I appreciate that blog post. Thank you, Andy Ayers. Now, coming up in a moment, I'm going to talk to Ginger Gall with the Dierberg School of Cooking and an amazing thing she and her family did about a decade ago. We'll get them to tell that story. That's coming up. This is Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. I'm David Craig. We'll be right back.